Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
I want to take a short break from Revelation. I'm not going to giving up on it, just going to take a short break. We'll keep going here, but I have some other things that we feel like we need to talk about and focus on, so we'll be doing that for the next few weeks. But today, I want to talk real briefly about the value of life, and God is just amazing in what he has done. When you think about his creation and creating all of the world, all of the planets and the stars, the entire universe that we have no idea how big it is even. But he saved, you know, the culmination of his creative work, at least in those first 6 days, was the creation of mankind, of people, of you and I. That's just amazing to me that he waited till the last to do the best and the most important. When he hand-fashioned a man and then a woman, brought them together for marriage so they could procreate and live with him, partnering with him on the planet, how important that life is. God has just put that really high, so high that he crowned them with something so unique in that he would one day die for them, the ones that he created, that's how much he loves us, and then live within. So he was, when he was creating Adam and Eve, he was making himself a home. I mean, that's hard to even fathom, but it's the reality of God living in, wanting to live inside of us. So humans are super important, really important. And the value extends not just to the adults that he made when he started out making adults. I'm thinking that Adam and Eve were at least teenagers, size, or full-grown adults, I'm not sure. No belly button, right? But God doesn't just care about the full-size ones of humans. It's the very smallest. I believe that life starts at conception. You know, there's a spark that happens. Scientists have discovered not that long, maybe not scientists, whoever discovered this, discovered not that long ago that at conception there's a spark. They don't understand it necessarily, but life starts right there. And it's not just a clump of cells. 22 days, there's a beating heart. Isn't that amazing? A beating heart. And then you've got all the limbs, and then there's activity and feeling. This child growing within can feel things and hear things. And then God gives this personality, spirit, to this little one growing in the womb. Psalm 139 talks about God's investment and love of his care and his handiwork inside the womb of a woman, forming every single person. Every single person in here has been formed by God's hands inside the womb of your mom. Incredible. And that value continues on all the way through after birth, through birth, and then all the way through as they grow into adults. And it's also highlighted in how God feels about people and kids. When God chose Abraham, in Genesis 19, it talks about why God chose Abraham. It says that he chose him so that he would teach his children. The care for his children was the reason God chose him. Isn't that amazing? And he saw in Abraham was a man who would train up and train his kids so that he could become the father of many, 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 even spiritually, you and I, as many as the stars are. That's, how about that? That's what God talked about with Adam, or excuse me, with Abraham, caring for children. In James 1:27, the Bible says, "This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our Lord, of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." That's a full-time job there, to keep ourselves unstained by the world, because the world wants to stain us all the time. But the focus here is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. That word orphans here is from a Greek word, orphanos, means fatherless or comfortless. The kids who are not comforted, who are not taken care of, covers a lot of children. I like in the Passion, the same verse says, true spirituality that is pure in the eyes of the Father God is to make a difference in the lives of the orphans. Make a difference in the lives of the orphans and widows in their troubles. We'll talk about widows on another day or focus on that. And to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. Refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. But to make a difference in the lives of the orphans. You know, in the world there are 153 million orphans. That's a lot. Kids who have lost their parents, either they've left them or they've died. You know, my wife was an orphan from age 11. When her parents died, she was in the car with them when they head-on collision and her parents died. And she and her four brothers were orphaned until another family took her in. And they split the kids up, and three went to one family and two to another. Included with the designation for orphans are these little image bearers of God called kids, whose parents are unable to care for them for numerous reasons, all kind of reasons. Maybe they might be addicted to drugs, or they just abandoned the kids, or maybe they died, all kind of different reasons. But there are, in the U.S., over 400,000 kids in the U.S. foster care system. In our country, 400,000 kids in foster care. 125,000 waiting for a mom and a dad to care for them. So there are 125,000 out of the 400,000 that don't have a place to go, don't have a place where they can be loved on and be taken care of or comforted. And when I think of the kingdom of God, God's plan on the earth for us, I cannot think of a greater group of people, a better group of people to care for kids who are orphans, who are comfortless, than the body of Christ. Right? I mean, we really are the best equipped and have love because we've been loved so much by God that we have love to give that not necessarily everyone else has. The body of Christ in this country and around the world, to me, is the perfect setup to take care of orphans and those who are not comforted. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Meaning, another reason we are equipped to take care of the orphan is that we have been adopted. Every single one of us have been adopted by God. And that adoption, when we realize it, that we really are a child of God, we are a son, we are a daughter, there's that cry that comes from the inside, Abba, Father. I'm not an orphan. And that orphan spirit leaves. We are adopted. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. And God sets the lonely in families. He sets the lonely in families. Those that don't have a family, God is looking for a way and making a way to set them in families, to set them in his family. I can put it that way. That's part of what God is doing. So I want to highlight just for today, at least we'll do more of this, but we want to talk about kids and fostering and adoption for the next little while today. I want to get involved as a church, us as people, as individuals, as families, as singles, to help and support this group of people that's in our community that needs help. And I want to introduce Erica. Erica, why don't you come on up? This is Erica Spivey. And grab that mic there on the stand on your way up. Yep. Erica is with an organization called Lifeline. I want her to tell you about it a little bit, and then we're going to have a panel discussion. So thanks, Erica, for being here.
Well, good morning, everyone. I am thrilled and honored to be here with you all this morning. My name is Erica Spivey. I serve as the state director with an organization called Lifeline Children's Services. We're based in Birmingham, Alabama, and we've been serving vulnerable children for over 40 years. We're licensed in 19 states and also serve in 19 different countries. Our mission is to equip the body of Christ, so that's individuals and churches, to bring gospel hope to vulnerable children. And we believe that when we do that, meaning as individuals and as churches, that their lives are going to be transformed by the gospel. Amen. And they will then go out and transform their communities. And so one of the unique areas that Lifeline serves in is we provide gospel-centered resources for families and churches, but they're also trauma-informed. And so a lot of times you have trauma-informed resources for families, but they may not be gospel-centered or biblically-centered. Or you may have biblically-centered materials, but they're really not trauma-informed. And so both of those things are extremely important. So we view ourselves truly as the bridesmaid to the bride of Christ. You guys are the bride of Christ, the church. And we believe that's God's plan A, to bring gospel hope to vulnerable children. So we want to come alongside and educate and equip and empower the body of Christ. And so we do this in three ways. We have an expectant mom ministry, so serving women that are in unplanned pregnancies, providing them with options, counseling, helping them to choose life for their child. And we ultimately would love for them to be able to parent, but if they don't feel like that's the best plan for them and their child, then we want to help them make an open adoption plan and choose parents for their children. The second way that we serve is we're an adoption agency or ministry, so we're in international and domestic adoption, soon to be offering foster care adoption in North Carolina in 2025. But we also serve through the local church, too. And the way we serve through the local church is a couple different ways. We have lots of resources and programs for families that are stepping into foster care and adoption. We know that the journey really begins after placement. That's kind of a common misconception that people think once a child's placed in a home, the hardest part has been done. In reality, that's not true. If any of you are runners, it's kind of like running a marathon. And so that's really where the journey begins. And one of the things that makes vulnerable populations vulnerable is they have a lack of support around them, and that's what can lead to neglect and crisis for them. And so these adoptive and foster families that are stepping into the middle of hard and stepping into the middle of brokenness, they need that circle of support around them too. And so that can be close friends, families, but it also includes the body. It includes the church. And so we want to help Awake Church to know better how to care for those in your community that are fostering, adopting, and also maybe God might be calling you as your next step to explore that. So we have ministry-based programs, mentoring ministries for vulnerable women. We know that this is a generational cycle. We also know that usually kids that are aging out of foster care are often going to come back and start that cycle over. 70% of women that age out of foster care within 1 year are going to find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. And then you have families that if they don't have that support around them that they need, they're either going to be at risk for foster care or foster care is going to become part of their story. And then the children will be removed from their homes, and these families have to work a case plan in order to be reunified with their children. And that's where foster parents are stepping in. They're providing a temporary place for these children to be loved, to feel safe, secure, and seen while their families are working to get things back on their feet. And they need the church. They need to hear of Christ's redeeming love. And then lastly, at the bottom part of this cycle, when reunification is not possible and parental rights are terminated, children then are available for adoption, which is what foster care adoption is. And typically, the older a child is, or as in sibling sets, and you heard from Matt's wife's story, they're harder to place. It's harder to find homes for sibling sets or for older kids. And so those kids getting permanency through adoption is very difficult. And so many of them will age out in foster care. And these children, these young people, are extreme high risk for substance abuse, incarceration, suicide, homelessness, and being trafficked. In fact, 75% of young people that age out of foster care within one year will experience that. So the stakes are high. God has called his church. And so I'm here to say that there's organizations like Lifeline. There's others out in the lobby. We want you to come and learn more. We also want you to consider how God might be calling you to serve in this capacity. I know we're going to have a group of people come up here and share a little bit about their stories, those that have already stepped into foster care and adoption. And then I'll share a little bit more. My family is not called to that, but there are many ways and opportunities that we can all serve, because it's not a should we, right? James 1:27 doesn't say should we. We're called to. And so the question we really all need to be asking ourselves is, how is God calling us in to serve or to wrap around and support those that are serving through foster care and adoption? So thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning.
All right. So I thought we would have a little bit of a panel here, and I want to ask some questions of them and of you as well, here and there. As we dive into this arena of fostering and adoption and what that might look like, and you know, we introduce everybody first. Craig and Christina Roach, who you guys all know. Craig and Christina have been with us for a long time. Yeah, Craig is on our board as well, so he's on the Awake Church board, helps make financial decisions for our whole ministry. This is Bill and Trish Gorelezka. They've been with us for a while also. Yep, at Awake. And of course, Erica that you just heard. All right, so we can pass the mic along. I'm gonna start on this end with Craig and Christina and just ask you guys some questions. First, and you can answer whoever wants to answer. How long have you guys been married?
Be 18 years in April.
Awesome. And how many kids?
So we have three biological children, Josiah, Ariana, and Maisie, 16, 13, 10, and driver's test on Tuesday. So,
right. And how long have you guys been at Awake? It's been a long time. I've watched all your kids grow up here.
So we came when Ariana was in utero.
Wow.
About this time of year, I think, in the fall, winter. So she'll be 14 in April. So we've been here about 14 years.
Yeah. So you guys have fostered kids and really have brought this to light for us as well and to me. And how many kids have you fostered?
So we've had three placements, four kids. So we did a newborn. We had two brothers that were four and five, and then a 10-year-old.
And then what prompted you to start fostering? How did that happen? Because you have three of your own.
Yes.
And then this idea came to your heart and mine. What was that?
It was in 2017. Craig decided that we were going to go to a small group for Sanctity of Human Life. So we went to the small group, and at the end, actually, I never knew about foster care or had the heart of adoption or anything like that. But at the end of hearing about God's plan for children and Sanctity of Human Life, the question was posed to us, okay, well, now that you know this, what are you going to do about it? And there was other people there in the group that were fostering at the time. So we had, at the time, 9, 6, and 3-year-old. And we thought, well, we have more love to give. We have the space. I think that we should be doing this. So we looked into adoption. We found out about foster care and just jumped into it from then. It took us a while for, we had some house things. You have to do all these things, check off the list, but we had a water issue that we had to like put up a fence and throw all those things, but we got licensed in 2019. So
okay.
We've been licensed for 5 years now.
Great. Yeah. I will ask you more about that here in a minute. I'm curious for everybody out here, how many of you were fostered as a child or have fostered kids? Do we have any others? We have 2, 3, 4, 5. Any others on this side of the room? No. Oh, yes. One here. So we have a mix of folks here who have done this. I know we have several families at Awake who have, like Craig, Christina, have fostered kids and adopted as well. And how many, this amazed me when I was talking to Craig and Christina about this. How many foster kids are there in Forsyth County, just Forsyth County right now?
So the best that we could find, which sometimes the data is a little shaded,
changes.
But 231 children in care, meaning they're in the foster system in Forsyth County.
Right.
And then to kind of tag onto that, we feel like there's the numbers roughly, again, accurate, but 150 licensed foster homes.
150
licensed.
Okay, licensed foster homes in the system in Forsyth County, 200 and some kids. And then how many kids have no place to go that are in the foster system?
So we feel, based on what we've found, 25 without home. So they're kind of free-floating, I guess is kind of a bad word for it, but they're kind of in limbo of no one to take them.
Yeah, so what I've learned, and Erica may be able to speak to some of this too, is that you have all these kids in the foster care system, only so many homes for them to go to. The ones who have no place to go, where they end up? Oftentimes it's where?
Yep, so the organization we're with is Crossnor, and there are residential homes on the campus, which is down Rinalda. I'm sure everybody's driven by it at some point. So a lot of mostly sibling groups, but if no one else is available to take them, they can end up in residential. And then a lot of times they may even move outside of the county. So if there's no available homes in Forsyth County, they could go to Guilford, they could go to Stokes, they could go to a couple counties away. So it could be anywhere.
Yeah, and I've heard that sometimes even kids are maybe even in the offices of that are downtown here because they don't have a place to stay, or they put them in hotels sometimes as well. Is that That happens as well, right?
It is, yeah. There's a county east of here, northeast of here, that kind of was in the news, I think, a year or so ago, that they were just sleeping in the hallways in DSS and no place to go.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Hard to even imagine that. What is the process to become licensed? I know since you've been through it.
So Erica had referenced trauma-informed type of counseling or care. So there is a licensing process where you'll go 8 to 12 weeks, I think, is roughly maybe what we did. At the time, it was in person, so you'd go and you kind of learn more about fostering. You'd learn, you'd see some very real situations where this happened and maybe how some tools to help that situation, a lot around trauma. And then it's a lot of paperwork. She said we had to put up a fence in our backyard because we had a pond. So it's a lot of scrutiny, which is perfect on the parents, because the foster parent expectation for really needs to be up here. As far as if they're going to come into your home, we need to know that they're going to be taken care of in a good way. So it's a lot of kind of paperwork. The license gets sent out to the state, and then you get your license. So it is a lot of kind of building up to that, and then the training to kind of get there.
It's generally about 4 to 6 months for the training.
Of getting licensed.
30 hours of training, and then you have to do a whole bunch of paperwork, fire inspection, stuff like that. But
and then through the foster care system, do they give you money for each child? How does that work?
You have
Yes, there is a stipend. Sometimes based on age group, but for anyone under 18, essentially, and maybe beyond that. And anything that you have questions on that's confusing, the agency's outside.
They're going to know all the,
They can pick up the pieces if we said something wildly inaccurate, which we won't say. But, yes, there is a stipend per child.
Which helps for the food and just normal things at home.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Insurance.
Yeah.
We'll pay for if you have an infant.
Yeah.
You have needs some of those for things. Diapers and formula, especially.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Let me slide down to these guys. This is Bill and Trish. So, Bill, I just learned a couple weeks ago because he told me. But first off, let me ask this: how long have you guys been married?
All my adult life.
All your adult life. You got married at 18.
We got married at 18. 35 years.
35 years. Awesome. And you have how many kids?
Four.
Four. Okay, we're going to learn about those here in just a second here. And then I learned from you that you are adopted. Is
that's
that right?
Correct.
So were you adopted as an infant, as a baby, or were you adopted later on?
So I had always believed that I was adopted at birth, but once all the documentation come through, it seemed that I was adopted at 2 weeks. So I was almost at birth.
Okay. And do you know your parents' situation or what happened at all?
Very much so. I had a reunification with my biological family 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Wow. Okay. And then you have four kids.
Correct.
Of those four kids, how many are biological from your bodies?
None.
So all of them were adopted.
Correct. Through the foster cares.
So you did foster care with all four of them, and then you ended up adopting all four.
Correct.
Wow. So how did that prompting come?
Well, when I was on active duty in the Navy, we realized that Trish couldn't get pregnant. Went through some infertility work, extinguished everything other than, in vitro?
Yeah.
We didn't do that.
Yeah.
And then, the joke for me was, if we don't have kids and they don't have toys, then I get to have toys. But,
right.
So,
that was reality.
Selfishness, right? And then, but God had a plan. God's plan for us was not to have biological children. Mm. It was to adopt the four that we have. And we realized that after I had gotten out of the Navy and rededicated our lives back to Christ, we were not fit to be parents when I was on active duty in the Navy. And God knew that, but he had a better plan.
Yeah, amazing. So, Trish, for you, was that process difficult?
Yes.
In, first off, not being able to have kids.
Yes, very much so.
And then to choose to adopt, were you thinking of adoption, or were you just thinking foster care to start out?
No, we wanted to foster to adopt.
You wanted to do it from the beginning?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So early on, I was mad at God for not letting me get pregnant. And I did not understand why he would give all these people children that they didn't take care of, that they just ignored and just whatever, abused or whatever. And I questioned that and didn't understand that until 14 years into our marriage when God laid it on his heart. I had already resigned not to have kids, and I was okay with it. And then, boom, we're going to have children. I'm like, what? We've been married 14 years, and we're going to get children now? But, he laid it on our heart, and he's adopted, so we checked into it, and that's what we did.
And so how long did it take to adopt once you got a foster? I'm sure it's different for each one.
Yeah, so we started our licensing process in 2000. And we didn't have a placement until, 2002? Early 2002. So when you set up to foster, through the training, you identify your strengths and weaknesses. Strengths and needs, excuse me. Yeah, let's not say weakness. It was weakness. and then you develop a window of your availability, right? Mm-hmm. what you're capable of, what, you know, your circle, you know, the circles that you showed, you know, what's in those circles? What are you capable of? What are you, you know, what is your house capable of? Can, are you wheelchair accessible? Those kinds of special needs, those kinds of things. So you develop a very, you develop a window of what you're capable of. For us, through selfishness, our window was very small and very direct. And it took a while to find that window, find that that right child. And
yeah.
We had to open up.
Yeah, definitely had to expand that.
Right. So how old were your kids when you adopted them?
So our first placement was our middle son, who was 2.5. Our second placement was our oldest son, who was 10. Then our third placement was our only baby, our infant, our youngest son. And then Brianna, who you all know, was 2.5.
Okay. Amazing. And, you know, for the process for you, I know that's not all roses. And there's difficulty in dealing with the situation that they bring with them as well, I'm sure. So there's part. Did you have some support for that and the church that you're going to, or?
So we did have some support. Our oldest son is one of six.
Yeah.
And we had a group of people that had adopted his siblings, and through that we formed a foster parent association in Stokes County, and through that there was a. Some folks in this church, Brad and Elizabeth, the church that they were attending, had Bible studies, parenting classes, those kinds of things. And through our Foster Parent Association folks, we were able to tie into some of that.
That's good.
And family. We had a huge support through family.
That's awesome. You got some great kids. Thank you, Lord, for that. Okay, so Erica, let me ask her just a couple of questions here. One, I mentioned up on the screen, we had it James 1:27. So what does that look like for a family like yours that's not called to adopt?
Yeah, so I can very much, very vividly remember my two first ideas around caring for vulnerable children fell in two categories. And one was like global orphan care. And the second was foster care and adoption. And I had a friend that invited me to an adoption information meeting, and I went along to support her. And I remember very clearly in that time thinking, this is not what God has called us to do. And so I had kind of compartmentalized James 1:27. And then when I was interviewing for this role with Lifeline, I went to a foster care and adoption it was kind of like a renew weekend retreat kind of event where they could come together with other families that knew exactly where they were and what they were going through, and it was really a support and encouragement time. And it was at that event that it was an aha moment for me. The speaker on the stage had had fostered 40 children, and they had adopted 7 out of foster care in addition to their 3 biological kids. And it was through that event that I really got to see the kind of layers pulled back a little bit of how hard it was. These families are just ordinary people like you and I, but God has put a specific call on their lives, and they need wraparound support. And so I started realizing I could be engaged in caring for the vulnerable child, not through adoption or foster care, but I could come alongside and I could support this family right here by maybe watching some of the other kids while one of the children had to go to an appointment, or I could bring over a meal or lunch, or my husband could come and, you know, cut the lawn. I mean, there were so many things that could be done to support those that were called specifically that way. And then I think specifically in my role now, serving as I do, it's the education and awareness. And so, you know, I would encourage you just to learn more about foster care and adoption. What is it all about? What are these families, you know, going through? They need prayer. I know y'all are a praying church. They need a prayer support group around them when things are getting hard, people to stand in the gap. with them. So just to say that foster care adoption is one way, but there's many ways, and God has all called us to be a part. I have one statistic I was going to share, too, Matt. So there's 2,600 kids currently right now in North Carolina that are ready to be adopted. And you know there's like 6,000 churches in North Carolina? So, yeah, just start doing those numbers. Just if half of the churches, if there'd be one family in each of the half of the churches would take care of a child that's in foster care, there'd be no more children.
Wow.
The statistic, too, that Matt shared, about 163 million orphans, do you know 7% of professing Christians would just take care of one child in crisis? There would be no more orphan crisis. So when you hear those numbers, it takes those really big numbers and it brings it down to go, this is manageable, this is something for the church, and this is something we can do.
Yeah, man. So we've got people who are fostering, those who foster to adopt, and then those supporting those who are doing one of these two. And so there's so many different ways to get involved. And let me ask real quick, before I'll get to you, Bill, can you be a single person and foster or adopt?
Yes, you can. And back to his comments on capacity, that's part of that conversation that a social work will, whether it's adoption or foster care, is just really talking through what your capacity looks like so that they can make sure that it's a good fit for that child and for you. What we don't want is to have a disruption.
Yeah.
They want to avoid that.
How about, do you age out? Like if you're 60 or over, can you do this as well?
If you're saying, oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I will also just put in a plug. We're like empty nesters. Now, again, I know that my family's not called to foster or adopt, but we have more time and a little bit more capacity, right? And we've lived a little bit of life experientially, so you're going to get a lot of trauma-informed care and training and education, and things are going to look a little different than maybe what those of us that are empty nesters did kind of with our own kids. But we've got time, and so we can do that. There's guardian ad litem out in the your lobby area. Check them out. The guardian ad litems are specifically there as advocates for kids that are in care. So if foster care adoption is not for you, check out being a GAL. They do super, super important work, just being an advocate for those kids.
And Bill, you want to say something?
I do. It's availability, right?
Yeah.
For us, like I said, our window was really, really small, and God filled that window. And then, and I say that very, very loudly, very, very boldly, God presented an opportunity to adopt an older child completely out of our little window. And, you know, I had to say it to myself more than once, if God lays it on our heart, well, hello, dummy. You know, you wouldn't have this conversation if God didn't already lay it on your heart or present it to you. So just being available. And I'd like to say that if anybody in here has that tug, guess what? God's put it on your heart. And it's very real. And God has more than blessed us through our availability and obedience.
Yeah, giving you a family, extended your family. You know, one of the difficulties in fostering, I know, and adopting is that kids come with issues and problems, some of the things you just mentioned, Erica, where there's support needed. You know, one of the things that I think Awake is uniquely equipped in is helping with a lot of the inner ministry, the spiritual ministry that we can help with kids that come in to help them get freed from some of the and healed up from some of the trauma things and some of the spiritual things that might be attached to them. And Erica also, that's part of what their ministry does. And so we have partnered with Erica's ministry, Erica and her ministry, Lifeline, to provide more support for families who want to foster or adopt so that we can, as much as possible as a body, surround and support those who are fostering or adopting. And so everyone could be a part of that support network here. I want to mention a few slides here and then let you guys go. The first slide was everyone can do something. If we could put that one up real quick. There we go. And then there's the inner circle and the outer circle. So go to the next slide. Where this one, the inner circle, of course, are the people who are fostering, adopting, and then there's the community support. Go ahead and go to the next one. And then this is that community support that Erica was mentioning. There's so many different ways that you can be a part of supporting. If you don't feel called to foster or adopt, you can be a part of one of these things. Pray, recruit, meals, money, support, host, childcare, transportation. I mean, just, I think, helping take kids to a doctor's appointment or something. There's so many different ways that can help this family. Minister to them, volunteer, donate, babysit. And it can be donating of meals or items that are needed. Mentor them. Dave does some of this in here, mentoring foster kids. And so if you wanted to help with mentoring, especially an older kid, that could be a wonderful way to help provide support to those who are comfortless and help them serve. And then if we can go to the next one, these are some of the licensing agencies that are here. We have some represented in the lobby right now. So you, as Craig said, you can ask them questions. There are a lot of people back there. I just encourage you to ask questions. Even if you're not feeling a super strong tug to this, to learn more, find out what is going on. These licensing agencies, this is one that they're licensed through. Crossnor and Thompson, you see the information there. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Children's Home Society of North Carolina, specializing in foster care and adoption, as well as education, prevention, programs, and family preservation. Keep going. Next slide. Of course, Lifeline, which Erica represents, and North Carolina Guardian Ad Litem, which she just mentioned. Can Erica, or maybe Erica, when you're closest to the mic, what is that?
Okay, I'll do my best. So a guardian ad litem is a volunteer person that acts as an advocate for a child that is in care. There is some training and licensing and things that they have to go through. But when during the reunification process, a parent has to appear in court to talk about how they're working on their case plan and the progress. And so you usually have the foster family sometimes that is present, and then you have the biological parent or parents that are there. And if the children are present, then the guardian ad litem speaks as the advocate for the child, seeking what's in the child's best interest, whether that's to remain in foster care home or whether that's to be reunified. But they are that independent voice acting in the best interest of the child. And I think guardian ad litems can do a lot of different things. It can be very specific kind of in that way. And I know that there's other GALs that are more active in, like, they may go to that child's sporting event, or they're checking in on them, or they're taking them for ice cream, or, you know, a meal, or just, you know, connecting with them. So in essence, it's a mentoring role with an advocacy piece.
Great. And that's a volunteer. We could have several within one church that are in this role, right? Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Okay. And we go then maybe the next. Yes, the foster closet and care portal. In the next one, additional resources here. Let me just end with this here. I would like to ask all of us to pray. Just simply ask the Lord that question, zero pressure, but just say, Holy Spirit, is this an area that you want me to be involved with? You want me, my family, or myself to be involved with? Just to ask the Lord. And then secondly, visit our panel here, these folks, after we're done, or one of the folks at the tables out there. Scan this QR code and fill out the brief form. It's not committing you to do anything, but what it does is it enables us to communicate with you about other meetings that we're going to have, talking about this, sharing about if there are needs that are there that we are needing support for some of these families. You could be informed about that. So you can scan that code, and we'll follow up with you. And then lastly here, plan to attend a meeting on Sunday, November 10th at noon in the Linden. So that is here in a couple of weeks to attend a meeting. It's going to be an informational meeting to talk about more ways that we want to get involved with this very thing. So if you would consider praying about and being involved, talking to some of these folks, that would be wonderful, because your part could be crucial, yet it might not be fostering or adopting, but helping support. And we want to do this as a fellowship and support those. I would love to have several kids that are fostered and adopted and taken care of here, more than we have already, and do our part here. So thank you guys so much for being a part of this. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I didn't hear respite talked about.
Yes, respite,
and that
was
is something that yes. you can play a part in. You can give a family a break and like take a child or two over the weekend and just have them for the weekend and just give them a break from the foster parents if they need it and vice versa. So
right.
that's also
yes,
a good
that's part of that support.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's great to mention. All right.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.